Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 17, Wilderness Living Now.
And you know what? The Lord's always healed us. It's just been a trial of our faith, but the Lord has always, always healed us. And it wasn't always just, it wasn't food. It was also provision. I mean, we had to have provision all the time because in our ministry, never talked about money. Just didn't do it whatsoever. And I didn't take up any offering. Anybody wanted to give me money, I would take it. But it was a free will offering to me, and I wasn't demanding any money. And I didn't borrow any money. And we just prayed for things, and we stood fast until we saw God answer. And He always answered. And it didn't matter what we've needed. Most everything we have now is because God answered. But we came to many situations where we needed miracles. I mean, because we were weak, we didn't have the provisions of the world to go out and do some things, and so we needed miracles. I mean, we saw God heal automobiles many times. We saw Him fix water pumps like that, water pump seals that were gone out, water pump bearings. One time I was going on a missionary trip over to Texas, as a matter of fact, and actually my car broke some rings. And I've been a mechanic for years. I knew a lot about mechanicking, and I checked all the simple things, and it was very simple. It had broken some rings, and it was just pouring smoke out the back, you know. And so here we were. I didn't really have any money to put into this, but you know what? Not having had a lot of extra money around is what caused us to see all the miracles. Because, you know, if you got the money, you go and lean upon those things, you know. Well, so by this time I'd seen a lot of miracles, and I just said, well, I'm just going to pray over this engine and trust God. So I commanded that engine to be healed in the name of Jesus. I've done that. I prayed over mechanical things, many mechanical things, and said, commanded them to be healed. I used the word healed. I don't know why, you know. But it really doesn't matter. God's not hung up on technicalities. He's really not. And I'd commanded that engine to be healed in the name of Jesus and slammed the hood and took off. Well, I had been putting this twice. I had been, probably 50 miles before I had to stop and pour another quart in it. I mean, that's how bad it was smoking out the back. It didn't take long, you know. Well, I'll tell you what. I probably hadn't gone another 100 miles and then it had just about stopped totally. And before I'd gone 150 miles, it had totally stopped. No more smoke, you know. And I was challenged a few times like this. I had a guy, I was preaching a church in Louisiana, and I was telling him about God healing, an alternator. Literally, when I was a babe in Christ, I'd been reading all this stuff, you know, and it went to my head, and I was trying it all out, you know. My best friend, the guy that had witnessed to me, decided he was going to go water skiing with me one day. And so we backed the car up to the boat, and we heard this strange noise underneath the hood, squealing, screeching noise underneath the hood. And we opened the hood, and the alternator was wobbling up and down. You know, the bearings were gone, and the shaft was just jumping up and down and squealing, you know, making noise. And Don said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to lay our hands on this alternator, and we're going to command it to be healed in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to go water skiing." So we did. We put our fingers on this rattly, squealing alternator, and we just commanded it to be healed in the name of Jesus, slammed the hood, and took off to Old River, you know. And that wasn't the last miracle we saw that day, but we didn't see anything immediately. We actually had got down the road a ways. But when we got to the Mississippi River Bridge, we were met with this just massive crowd of black clouds coming at us from the direction that we were going to, which was Old River, where it was a good favorite skiing spot. And Don said, "There isn't anything but rain that way, David. We're wasting our time going over there, you know." And I said, "Don, let's point our fingers at those clouds and tell them to get out of our way in the name of Jesus." He said, "Okay." So we did. We pointed our fingers at those clouds and we told them to get out of our way in Jesus' name. Well, that was the first time I saw that. But it wasn't the last time I saw that. Those clouds parted, and there was blue sky going right down the middle of that road, and they were black on either side. And we would go down that road for a ways and do the same thing, and they would part again. We went down that road for a ways, and we had to turn and go over to False River, which is a right turn, and we were turning right into these clouds. So I said, "Don, we're going to have to do it again because we're turning into these clouds." He says, "Okay, let's do it." So we did. We turned over to False River. And we did this all the way to Old River, you know, just parting these clouds. You think God is interested in just proving our faith and showing us a good time? You know, some people think that's too insignificant for God. He didn't want to waste his time with stuff like that. That's just the devil. That's a lie. Yeah. He wants us to have these victories so that we can put our trust in him for more important things down the road. Well, we got to False River, which was a little settlement there, and we had to slow down in this town. When we slowed down, Don said, "Hey, I don't hear anything under the hood." He said, "Stop the car. I want to see this." So we stopped the car, and got out and opened the hood. That alternator was running just as pure and as true and as perfect. And I never changed the bearings in that alternator. It just ran perfect. Never had any problems with it. And I was in a church in Louisiana, and I was giving this testimony in front of people, and a guy stood up and said, "Hey, you think God would do that for me? I got a Honda that's doing the same thing." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I believe it if you believe it." He says, "Okay, well, come on over to my house." You know, after the service, I went over to his house. We prayed over that Honda. God fixed that Honda. Well, we shouldn't put anything past the Lord. God can make machines run with missing parts. We actually had a lawnmower one time that had no spark. And I got tired of pulling on it. I was blue in the face. And I called my kids around and said, "We're going to command this thing to run in the name of Jesus." So I literally checked the spark. There was no spark on that machine. And so my kids prayed over it. We pulled it. And it ran. Now, I don't know if God gave it spark or not. It really didn't matter to me. As long as the thing ran. And I wasn't getting all burnt out, you know. Many times these things happen for us, and provision was needed many times because, like I say, we would put ourselves in a position of weakness. It wasn't like we had some big church supporting us. We've always had small assemblies around us, you know, small groups of people. And I've never told them that we've had a need, not one time. I don't believe in that. The Lord has taught me not to do that. Have you ever read books by George Mueller? Any of y'all ever read that? The guy was a man of faith, you know, and he believed the same thing. You don't need to tell everybody your needs. That's kind of like manipulation. You know, because the Bible says if you see your brother in need, you know, and you withhold from him, how's the love of God abide in you? What's the matter with you, you know? So I never did do that, and I didn't borrow money. But we got into these situations, especially when I went into the full-time ministry one time after another, you know. We got into the places that I was so glad afterwards that we went because I saw miracles. We got to the place one time we had run out of everything in the house. Every time this happened, we got miracles. We got in a position of weakness. One time we'd run out of everything. My wife was very ingenious. She made something with the very last stuff we could find in the cupboards, you know, and she just kept making stuff. Well, she got to the place where she ran out of ingenuity. You ever heard of the old saying, man's extremity is God's opportunity? Well, that's where we were. We were at man's extremity, and it was God's opportunity. So she made something with the last thing she had, which was some spaghetti. A pot of spaghetti, big old pot of spaghetti for the kids, you know. And we actually ate that pot of spaghetti down about like that. We prayed over it. We blessed it. We commanded it to be blessed and multiplied in the name of Jesus, you know. And we stuck it in the icebox, the whole pot. Didn't have anything else to worry about, so we just stuck the whole pot. So, you know, the next day we got up and we were walking around there, you know, and sauntering around. My wife pulled the pot out, stuck it on the stove. And we walked around for a few more minutes. She walked over and pulled the top off the pot. And she's looking down that pot. She said, David. And I was standing there looking at her. She said, David, this pot was down to here yesterday. The Lord had put it all back in there. Everything that we ate the day before, He put it all back in there. You know what? I'm not worried about that wilderness. Anybody that can multiply spaghetti, he can multiply anything. You know? And we had other opportunities like that. There was a time when we also got to the same kind of a situation. I don't want you to think we always lived on the edge of disaster. That's not true. God, but we did get tried. And you don't get miracles without trials. You know, you don't want to go there, but that's where you see the miracle. And that's when you can brag on God to everybody, you know. So we got in the same situation. You know, Mike, let me tell you something. In all the years, my kids only fasted one time. I mean, I fasted, but I never put fasting on my kids. But in all those years, my kids only fasted for one meal. God was always totally faithful. Well, we'd run out of everything, and my wife said, what are we going to do? I said, put the plates at the table. We're going to sit around the table, and we're going to pray. So we did. She set the table, and we all, me and my wife, my five kids, sat around the table. We prayed. I said a little prayer that just kind of came up out of me, you know. I said, now, Lord, You sent us here, and we're asking You to fill our plates or fill our tummies. And I never thought about that before, but that's what kind of what came out of my mouth. You know, so when I got through with the prayer, my oldest son, whom I never thought would ever say such a thing, said, Dad, I'm full. I don't really need to eat. By the time it got out of his mouth, it went to the next one. And my mouth was still hanging open as it were going around the table. And before I thought about it, now wait a minute, I'm full too. You know? We were all full. Every last one of us was full. I had prayed the prayer that obviously came from the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill these plates or fill our tummies. Do you know if God can do that, you can't get anywhere where He can't supply your needs. God is awesome. He's in control. He sees everything. I've got a good friend that we have seen some awesome miracles together. This guy actually went fishing out in Pensacola Bay out there, lost his glasses overboard, prayed a prayer. 2 weeks later, I think it was, about 2 weeks later, his relative was out in the bay fishing, and he ran into his relative, and Bob asked him, says, catch anything? I didn't catch anything but this pair of sunglasses. He says, pair of sunglasses? Can I see those? It was his sunglasses. You know how big that bay is? Can you imagine? I mean, God had an angel underneath there, you know. Put him on his hook, you know. Can you imagine? We saw some awesome miracles with this guy. But one thing... I got in the place sometimes where I didn't have money to put gas in my car. God was very good at providing us our needs. But when I got to a place like that, I wouldn't say anything to anybody. I would just thank the Lord, didn't worry about it, and I'd be anxious because, you know, it's already been done. Yeah. And so I would just thank the Lord. And I can remember several times that God put gas in my tank. And I actually got to watch the needle go up. But I can remember one time when He made me drive it without the needle going up. And I did that for a week. And I had a big old gas-guzzling station wagon because I got five kids, you know. I drove that thing for a week, and every time I would think I'm going to stop and go home and just study and not worry about it, I would be called upon to use my car again. I mean, one guy ran off in the ditches, called me up, said, David, would you please come pull me out? I'm stuck over here, such and such. I said, the Lord says, give to him that asketh of thee. So I says, oh, okay, I'll be right over. So I went over there and pulled him out, and again, that thing couldn't put it any more against the peg than what it was. I mean, there just wasn't showing any gas. But it was running. It was running fine. And I drove it like that for a week. You don't drive those big engines, big gas hog Chevrolet engines like that for a week, you know. But God showed himself faithful, and he did these kind of things for us, and we saw awesome miracles, you know, of God's provision. Even when it was just something we desired. You know, if you're pleasing the Lord, he loves to please you. And I remember one time, I'm pointing this out because the weaker the position that we got into, the bigger the miracle we saw. We think, well, that's a hard thing for God to do. That's a hard thing for us to demand. You know, no. That's where his power is. He wants to prove himself. He brought the children of Israel into the wilderness from one trial to the next to prove what a miracle God he was. He even brought them out of Egypt that way. He hardened Pharaoh's heart to make it impossible for them to be set free so that he had to do miracles to prove himself to them to set them free. It's his plan. It's his plan to prove himself to us. Well, I was going out to, we didn't get to go to the beach all that much, but I was going to take the kids and go to the beach. And on the way out there, we prayed a prayer. I got them all quiet, and I prayed a prayer. I said, well, Father, we're asking you to give us a nice sunshiny day on the beach without a lot of naked people around. And it was just, I think there was one more thing, but I don't remember what that was. It was three things. And I prayed that prayer on the way down there. Well, we got down to the beach, and we started going down Pensacola Beach. Any of y'all have ever been there, there's a sand mound between the road and the beach, and cars would park, you know, and they would go over. And, of course, you could tell by the cars where the people were, and we always looked for a place where there weren't a lot of naked people around in colored underwear, you know, so we could go out there and have a little privacy. Well, we went down the beach that day, and there just wasn't any place where there wasn't cars. You know, there was just cars everywhere. So we just kind of gave up, and we went across the dunes, and the kids all went out on the beach. And while we were out there, we hadn't been there very long, and I was telling the Lord, as I was walking out there, I said, Lord, this isn't what we prayed for, and I'm thanking you for what we prayed for, okay? And so we hadn't been out there long, then this big thunderhead started coming from Pensacola out towards the beach. And same all along Pensacola, all along the beach. It was rolling out there like that. This big black thunderhead was, you know, there was lightning and, you know, thunder, and it just looked like a bad storm. So my wife was saying, well, David, we need to get out of here before that storm gets here. And I said to her, I felt this little reluctance in my heart. And I said, no, I feel like we need to wait. Let's just wait. And I'm sure she didn't understand what I was doing. And I really didn't understand what I was going to do either, because all I felt was this reluctance. That's all. So a few minutes later, she said the same thing. And all this time, people were clearing out up and down the beach. They were just leaving because they could see this thing was blowing pretty fast. It was just moving pretty fast towards the beach, you know. Unusual, because usually the stuff blows the other way, you know, a lot of times. But the wind was going into the south. And so I still felt this reluctance. She asked me again, and I felt this reluctance. And all this time, people were clearing out up and down the beach. And within just a few minutes, I mean, you could look up and down this beach, which you could see for miles in either direction, and there wasn't a soul on that beach. In either direction, there wasn't even a dog on that beach. There was nothing on that beach, just clear sand. You could see it very clearly out there, which is what I prayed for. Of course, I couldn't imagine that God would clear out the whole beach just for us. But that's what he was doing. And then he spoke to me. He said, I want you to blow those clouds back. And I heard it loud and clear. And I looked over at my wife and kids, and I thought, well, I think I'll walk down the beach just a little bit so they won't see me blowing on the clouds, you know. So I did. I walked a few steps down the beach, and I just started blowing on the clouds. Those clouds stopped. I mean, they were blowing full steam ahead. They stopped. Not only did they stop, they backed up just a little bit. And they just sat there. And the sun was shining on us. There was nobody on the beach. I'm sure, because on the way back, we actually got halfway of the bridge between Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, which is the island between that and the mainland, and that's where the rain started. Nobody on Gulf Breeze and nobody in Pensacola knew that the sun was shining on Pensacola Beach. Nobody. Because all they could see was storm. And so we spent a little while out there in the sunshine with no naked people around. And had a wonderful time. And thought, isn't God awesome that He would do this for us? You know, we are the most important people on this earth. You know that? We are very important to God. He made the whole world, and actually He knew before He started this that the overwhelming majority of mankind was going to be used as vessels of dishonor to bring a few to perfection. The important people on this whole earth are God's people. He foreknew them from the foundation of the world. So don't think that God doesn't have time to please you sometimes. You know, He certainly does. He doesn't mind doing it at all. And anyway, we had a very nice time, and we started back, and we ran into these storms. Actually, we got back to Pensacola, and it was still storming. We got back to the corner where we lived, and there were stores that had lost their awnings and trees that were blown over. And we got into our area, which is full of these great big oak trees, and some of these big oak trees were blown over. And the kid says, look at that, look at that, look at that. Yeah, oh, yeah, wow. I said, what happened, Daddy? I said, I must have blown too hard. They all got a kick out of that, you know. I must have blown too hard, boys. Look at that. Another thing God told me to do back before it was a law is He impressed me that He really wanted to, He wanted me to depend on His assurances in the Bible and not on insurance. And God had me do some things that most people think are nutty, but I got to see miracles over time. He told me to get rid of my insurance. He kind of left it up to me, but I wanted to go there, and I knew what He desired. And so I took those steps. I called in all the insurance people, and I canceled all my insurance. Wasn't law at that time. Even now, I still only have what is legal, which really don't cover you. It kind of covers the other guy, you know. And by the way, I have made lots of money in this way because God has honored me every time. I have made money. I have never lost money doing this. My house was bought in this way because every time I got in an accident, I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to sue anybody. It was like I was plundering Egypt. Remember how when they came out of Egypt to go into the wilderness, they were plundering Egypt? Well, that's what the Lord brought to my mind. He was plundering Egypt. Well, when I got rid of my car insurance the next week, I was driving my little station wagon, a little tin Japanese station wagon, and I drove it into a stop-and-go mart. It was one of the quickie corner marts. And I walked inside, and I was walking up and down the aisles, picking up a few things, and I hear this boom, you know, and I look over the top of the aisle, and a guy had just wheeled in the parking lot and slammed right into the corner of my car 1 week after I dropped all my insurance. Slammed right into the car. And it literally, I saw the windows, the glass windows across the front of the store shake and dust come down off the ceiling. So I walked on down the aisle and walked on out there. And there's this guy, he had backed up about that far, and he was standing there looking at my car. And his mouth was hanging open. And the closer I got, the more my mouth hung open. And I walked over there, And my Datsun station wagon had notched the front of his big old Buick. It was one of those old Buicks, all steel, no plastic nowhere. It had notched the front of his car in about that much. The hood, the grill, the bumper, everything. He hit me right on the corner of the back of the box on the Datsun station wagon, right on the plastic tail ends. This is God's truth, okay? The guy, he was just sitting there looking at this thing, shaking his head, you know, and I got to looking, I said, oh, man. I walked over to it and took my thumbnail, and on the plastic tail ends, there was some of the paint off of his hood on the plastic tail ends. And I scraped it off with my fingernail like that, and I stood back. I mean, it just identified where he middled it. Boom. And after I scraped that off, you could look at that station wagon, and there wasn't a scratch on my station wagon anywhere. Not a scratch. And I was awed, you know. God made my piece of tin box invincible to this old tank. God can do that with anybody, you know that? Make invincible. This car was invincible to this old tank. And the guy said, I'm sorry. He says, I think my brakes went out. I don't really believe, but that's what he said anyway. He says, and then he mumbled one more thing before he got back in his car and left, and that was, hey, man, they sure make them a lot better than they used to. I said, duh. The guy got in his car, and I was still standing there looking at this, you know, and I said, oh, man, I missed the best chance I'll ever have to witness to anybody. And I jumped in the car, and I took off, and I caught the guy at the red light. He was stopped at the red light. And I reached in the glove box, and I grabbed a bunch of tracks out of the glove box, and I jumped out of my car, and I was going to try to catch him before it turned green, you know. Pulled up alongside. Actually, the guy was chewing tobacco. And I came up suddenly beside him, and he was spitting out of his window, and he kind of dropped his chin down. Actually, it spit on the side of his car. Literally, this is what happened. And I said, mister, I said, that was a miracle. He said, it has to be. I said, I was trusting God to keep that car. You see, I didn't have any insurance on that car. It was God that did that. I put these tracks in his hand, and the light turned, and he took off, and I got my car and left, you know. God didn't always protect my vehicles in that way, but when he didn't, I was glad he didn't. You know, my wife and daughter got in a wreck one time that brought us about. I mean, this was one of those times where I actually had believed God. I said, God, I'm asking you, you've told me that you want to move me to Pensacola. We know this is the time. We're seeing the signs being involved around us. I'm asking you to give me a house and give me a car in Pensacola. I want you to give it to me. You know, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I believe God will give you everything you need to do His will. Everything.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.